We begin the current daf in Sefer Shavuos, daf Chav Tes. We begin 8 lines down at the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the Mishnah, of the Mishnah's discussing Shavuos, which first we were discussing Shavuos Bitoy, which is someone just swearing about something that he will do or will not do. Then we're speaking about Ezehu Shavuos Shav. Says the Mishnah, what is an oath in vain? So the Mishnah explains different categories that fit into an oath in vain. Nishba L'shanes es yadu l'adam. Let's say he swore to change something which is obvious to man. For example, Amar la amichel evan shushal zav. He swears, I swear that this pillar, which everyone knows is of stone, that it's of gold. Or val ishu isha, there's a man, he's swearing that she's a woman. Or val isha sheish, or a woman, he's swearing that she's a man. So that's something that's obvious. This guy is patently lying. That's a shavu shab. It's an oath in vain. Or nishbal davashi'i efshalai. Let's say he swears regarding something that's impossible. For example, im lari'isi gamal shapirech babi. Says, if I didn't see a camel flying in the sky. Or vim lari'isi nachash kakaris besabad. If I didn't see a snake that was the size of a beam of the olive press. Which is something that's not possible. That's also considered oath in vain. Additionally, a different category, amla edim. If let's say he says to witnesses, bayu vihiduni, come and say testimony for me, you could help me in my court case. And they say, shvua shleini itcha, we swear we're not going to say testimony for you. That's an oath to bimavatla mitzvah, which is also considered on some level a davashi yafshir, something that's not possible because you have to fulfill the mitzvah. That's an oath in vain. So too, nishba levatla, because they have to say testimony if they know for him. So to nishba levatla lesa mitzvah, if they swear, they're going to bimavatla, nullify, void a mitzvah. For example, I swear shalei lasa sukkah, this year I'm fed up, I'm not making a sukkah. V'shalei li'i lulav, I'm not going to shakal, I'm not going to take the lulav on sukkahs. Or v'shalei li'i l'chatfilin, not to put on tefillin. So, says the Mishnah, these three categories, zuhi shvu shav, that is an oath in vain. Shechayav nazdein makis, if someone does it deliberately, he gets warned, he gets lashes. Vashegigasa pater, but if he does it by mistake, unlike the Shavuos Bitu, which Yechayav Kabrin El Viyarid, which opened up our Perek and our Masechta, Shavuos Shav, someone does it by mistake, he is going to be exempt from a carbon. Now, let's say he says, Shavuos Sha'ichel Kikazu, let's say he combined the two categories we spoke about till now, Shavuos Bitu and Shavuos Shav. How so? He says, I swear, Sha'ichel Kikazu, that I'm going to eat this loaf of bread. Then he takes another oath, Shavuos Shelo Yechlena, I swear I'm not going to eat it. So first he swore he is going to eat it, now he's swearing he's not going to eat it. So says the Mishnah, Harishayna Shavuos Bitoy, the first oath is an oath of Bitoy, where he's taking a regular generic oath, which is swearing that I will do something. Vashniya Shavuos Shav, the second one is an oath in vain, because he's swearing to be Mevatel a mitzvah. He already has a mitzvah to fulfill his Shavuos Bitoy, which is to eat it, and now he's swearing that he's not going to do that, that he's not going to eat it. So that's if he takes these two oaths. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah, Achlo, if he ends up eating it, so Avah Shavu Shav, he's only violated the Shavu Shav, because the Shavu Bitoy, he hasn't violated, because he ends up eating it, which is what the oath that he had, that he's going to eat it. Loi Achlo, if he doesn't eat it, Avah Shavu Bitoy. So then, he's violating the Shavu Bitoy, meaning, he actually did fulfill, actually, Gemara will explain this halacha, but it seemingly is that he fulfilled his second oath, which was not to eat it. But the first one, which he swore that he is going to eat it, that he violated by going ahead and not eating it. Now, Amma'uli explains the first halacha of the Mishnah regarding the first category of Shavu Shav, swearing that this table is really a chair or something totally different. So, then Yechayev has a Shavu Shav. So, Ula says, the Vuhusha Nikr, but that's only if it's recognizable that this pillar, Legimel ben Adam, for three people, that it's obviously not. Everyone knows, look, it's wood. No, I swear that it's gold. So then, it's considered Shavu Shav. But if it's not recognizable for three people, it's not so openly obvious, then although it's obviously a lie, but that would be a Shavu Sheker, a false oath, not an oath in vain. It has to be that at least three people know, then it's considered everybody knows, it's pretty obvious, that would be a Shavu Shav. So to the second category was, Nishbal davashi'i efshalai. Swears regarding something that's impossible. He says, Im loy re'isi gomel perech bab, if I didn't see a camel flying in the sky. Now the Gemara wonders about the wording of the Mishnah. Shvur shari'isi loy kama. The Mishnah doesn't say, I swear that I did see. Mayim loy re'isi. Why is it saying, I swear if I didn't see? Well, that's actually a normal oath. You swear that you didn't see. Why is that considered shvur shav? Sabayam, he says, you're right. Tanei, Shavuos Shari'isi. I actually have to read in the words of the Mishnah, not that I didn't see, but I swear that I did see. That's a Shavuos Shav. Rav Ami says, no, you can keep the wording in the Mishnah, but it's Tumah Ba'imah where he says, Ya'astru kol perisha ba'olam alai. all the fruits, every produce, all the food in the world should be forbidden on me. If I didn't see, that's where the didn't comes in. If I didn't see a camel flying in the sky, meaning I'm taking an oath on me, if I didn't see, well, that's a shvur shav, because that he's forbidding something on him is based on a totally vain, false concept, which is swearing that it's forbidden if I didn't see, which basically is swearing that he did see, which again is a shvur shav. Now the Gemara wonders on this halacha. Amli Ravina or Ravashi says, why? Maybe this person saw a very large bird. And he himself called it, words are subjective unless it's Lashon HaKodesh, he called it a camel. When he's swearing that he saw a camel flying in the sky, he was swearing based on his own premise. And therefore, why is that a problem about a Shavuot Shav? Yeah, I saw a camel flying in the sky. Camel, what's camel? Oh, a camel's a bird. Oh, okay, great. So why is it Shavuot Shav? So the Gemara explains. And Mechitim, if you're going to say, Basa Pumias Linen, that, what do you mean, the guy can't just call a bird a camel? We don't go based on his words. We don't go based on what he's thinking at the moment. Oh yeah, I call a bird a camel. Oh, I swear I saw a camel flying in the sky. And that says the Gemara. But Vatanya, but we learned the Braisa as follows, that seems to say that we do go Basa a person's Das. The Braisa says, Kishamash Binaisai, and this is in the context of Shvuas Hadayanin, which is when the court, which is the judges, make a person who is liable for a Shavua in Besdin, let's say Maidi B'Miktzis, or other types of oaths that they have to make. So in the making the defendant take the oath, Imrali, they tell him, have you a day? You should know. Shaloya Daitchon Mashbin Aischav. I'm not making you swear based on your perception, your conception, your thoughts, your cognitions. Elaldat Teinu Vadas Besdin. You're swearing based on our consciousness and on the consciousness of the court. So says the Gemara, my time. What's the reason that they tell him this declaration? Lav Mishum, isn't it? Because Darmina, we say, Dilma is Kundari Yavle, because maybe he gave to his Baldin, the one that he's having the court case with, maybe he gave him some token wooden coins, which kids play with, Vasik Luzuzi, and he's calling that money. He's calling it coins. So the Chikom Mishabei, when he's swearing that, yeah, I paid him 100 coins, and Adai did the Deka Mishabeiya. Although, what coins? You mean monopoly money? Well, in his mind, yeah, I paid him money, and this means money. So you see that we tell him it's not al daitcha, but if not, then it would be, his oath would be valid based on his own das. So you see, we go based on the person's das, and therefore, why is this an oath in vain? Maybe when he says he saw a flying camel, he called a bird a camel. Says Zigma Loi, no, there's no raya from that braisa. Actually, we don't go based on the person's own das. And therefore, you can't say that when he said a camel, he meant the bird. We go based on the words that a person uses. He used the word camel, it means a camel, and therefore it's oath in vain. Hasma within that braisa is mishum kanya derava. The truth is, we go based on what a person says. This that we have to tell him that we're not going based on daitcha is because in his own words he can be crafty in the oath. How so? Where, for example, if he gave the party that he's litigating with us a cane, and he put the money in the cane, and he deposits by him, he says, oh, I'm going to take an oath by the Sefer Torah, do me a favor, hold my cane. And he swears, I swear I gave him back the money. And the guy's like, this guy's such a liar. That's not true. Because he did. He gave him the cane, and inside the cane was the money. After the oath, he goes and takes his stake back. Because this actually was an incident that happened by the court of Rava, and therefore it's called Kanya de Rava. So that's not, they're not telling him this because of what his thoughts are, but actually because of what his words are. His words might actually be correct. Based on that, we say, don't be crafty and do such a trick like giving him the stick. That's not what we mean when we're swearing. I mean, you actually paid him back for good and forever. That's why they tell him, and therefore there's no raya to ask you a question. And we see we go based on the person's das, and not his mouth. So Gemara continues, but Tashma, we learned within that Braisa, and it continues, and the Braisa brings support for its halacha, which Gemara wants to prove. You see, it's really das, not the person's mouth, that we're concerned for when we warn them and say, lo al daitcha. Because the Braisa says, v'chei metzina. So do we find, like the Pasuk says in Dvarim Chavtes, that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, lo yitchem levatchem, not only you yourself, which is translated to mean, not like how you think in your hearts. Because, kishishbiya Moshe es Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu made the Jewish people swear that they're going to keep the Torah, Amlan, he said to them, look, you should know, I'm not making you swear to keep the Torah based on what you're thinking in your head, but rather based on the awareness of the omnipresent and on my own awareness. Now, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to tell them this? Why didn't you just tell them? You have to fulfill what God says. Says the Gemara in its question, isn't it because they could entertain and they could say, oh yeah, who's Eloha? Oh, that's a certain idol. That's what it means. Yeah, I accept whatever Eloha says, I'm going to do. Who's Eloha? Not Hashem, some of Adizara. So you see that it's because we're concerned about their das, and therefore that's difficult. Again, maybe Gamla means a bird. So it's like, well, lie, no. It's not because we go based on their thoughts. It's because idols are also called Eloha. And therefore, even if we went based on their mouth, they would be saying the truth if they'd be swearing it to be, to fulfill the words of the idol. Because the Pasuk says in Shemayis, Elohei chesav, Elohei zav, do not make gods of silver, gods of gold, referring to Avodah Zarah. So that's why he had to say, lo al da'etchem. Not because of what they're thinking, but even actually what they're saying. Don't think that your words, which are valid, similar like Kanye Derava, don't think that it's referring to Avodah Zarah. And that the Gemara still asks, but v'lei melehu kaimu Torah. Then why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu just tell them that make you swear that you can fulfill the Torah? Isn't it because that they're going to entertain in their mind and say, oh yeah, what's Torah? Torah, what does the word mean? Oh, but me, Torah means Averis. And they're swearing based on that awareness. So don't you see again that it's because we are concerned that their oath would be valid based on their awareness? And the Gemara says no, because that wouldn't be a valid thing to make them swear. Had Moshe Rabbeinu said to them that you should fill Torah, that would have sounded like in the singular, Chadu Torah, only one Torah. Which, however, we know that there's actually two, Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat. So the Gemara says, okay, V'lei Mekayimer Shtei Torah. So why didn't you just tell them that I'm making you swear that you can fulfill both Torahs? And that, obviously, because they can make up whatever they're thinking. And that's what the Gemara says, no, because even in their words, if they would accept two Torahs, that could mean Torah Chatzis, Torah Asham, the laws of Chatzis and the laws of Asham, because that's actually what it says over there in the Torah. It's called Tyrus Chatas, Tyrus Hashem, and therefore, even had they said that the Moshe Rabbeinu had said to them to do two Tyrus, they could have entertained to say that, yeah, we're swearing to fulfill these two Tyrus and no other mitzvahs. So the Gemara still asks, but okay, why didn't you just tell them, Kai Mekola Torah Kula, I make you swear you fulfill the whole entire Torah? That doesn't leave any room for margin of error regarding what their words are. Obviously, it's because of their thoughts. They can make it think whatever they want. So the Gemara, no. If he made them swear, call it Torah Kula, even in the words, it would mean Avodas Kechavim. It would mean just not to do idol worship. Because the Amar Malik, the Master, said, Chamur Avodas Kechavim, idol worship is so severe, Shekala Kaifra Bo, whoever denies Avodas Zarah, Kamaydu B'chal Torah Kula, it's like he admits to the whole entire Torah. Because by Avodas Zarah, the Pasuk says, Mamidbar Tezvav, Chisishku, if you're going to make a mistake, V'lo Yisasos, Kol Mitzvah, you're not going to do all these mitzvahs, which the Pasuk there is talking about Avodas Zarah. So you see that even if he said to fill the whole Torah, one, they could, even in their words, it could mean Avodah Zarah. So therefore, it's not a raya based on what they're thinking. It's even in their words, it would be able to be misconstrued. But the Gemara still asks, V'leim lukayim mitzvah. Why don't you just tell them, fulfill mitzvah, the commandment? So the Gemara, then that would only mean chadah mitzvah, to only have to do one mitzvah. So okay, so ask the Gemara, kayim mitzvah. Why don't you say that you have to fulfill mitzvahs? So the Gemara, that would only mean tarti, two mitzvahs, because the minimum of plural is two. So the Gemara says, why didn't you just tell them kol mitzvahs kula? You have to fulfill all the mitzvahs. So the Gemara, then they would have thought they could have said that means mitzvah tzitzis, just the mitzvahs of wearing tzitzis. Because the Amar Malik, the Master says, shkula mitzvah tzitzis, the mitzvah tzitzis is equal, keneged kol mitzvahs kula, equivalent to all the mitzvahs. The reason why that is because the Pasuk says, Mamid b'tezvav, it was a chartim as kol mitzvahs Hashem, in regard to the context of mitzvahs, says you should do mitzvahs, do tzitzis, and then you'll remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem, because the gematria of tzitzis is 600, with the 8 strings, plus the 5 knots, is 13, is 613. So therefore, even if he would have said to fulfill all the mitzvahs, they would have said that means only wearing tzitzis. So the Gemara asks, but v'leimlu, but why didn't Moshe just tell them, why do you have to say, al daiti v'aldasa mokim, why didn't you just tell them, kaimu sheish meis v'shloish esri mitzvahs, fulfill 630 mitzvahs. There's no more room to make mistake in the words. Obviously, because they can make up in their head something else, but in the words, there's no room for error. And therefore, obviously, as the Gemara, you see that a person with his oath could think up whatever he wants to, and it'll be a true Shavua. So again, we're back to the question, Gamla Pireach could have meant a large bird, which is not an oath in vain. To which the Gemara responds, a different approach to answer the questioner. Well, the time may, according to your reasoning, that you want to say that why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them, loyal daitchem, was because so that they shouldn't entertain whatever they want, thinking distorted it in their mind, whatever thoughts they want to, and give it whatever name they want to. On that responds the Gemara, but then, Leim Luhal Daiti, then there should have been enough Moshe Rabbeinu just to say, okay, not based on what you're thinking in your head, but rather what I'm thinking in my head when I mean I'm telling you to fulfill the Torah and the mitzvahs. But then the question is, Al Das HaMokim, but then why does he have to say both my Das and the Das of Hashem? Lovely, what do you need it for? Why wasn't it enough just to say based on my Das, if the whole purpose just wasn't what they're just making up concoctions in their own head? Why does he have to add on Das HaMokim? Rather, as we continue to Tamid Beis, Ella, the reason why he told them Lo Yadaitchem was not because they were trying to say because if not, they could think of whatever they wanted. No, it's like we were saying originally, Gam L'Perech means a camel. Whatever you say with your words, you can't think of whatever you want or subjectively. But rather, Kihecha was that their oath should be based on Das Acherim, which is based on the consciousness of the public. So that there shouldn't be any nullification for their oath, which is to accept the Torah. That they cannot be matur that neder anymore because a neder, shahuda, das rabim, a vow that was taken based on the consciousness of the public, which is including when you're saying based on das hamakim, which is of the omnipresent, which is including all of Klal Yisrael, then there's no mahafar. That's why he said al das hamakim. Himself, he said because he was a shliach, but the reason why he had on das hamakim, that proves that's why he says loyal daitchem wasn't because like you're asking, that it means to say because they could have thought of whatever they want. You can't think of whatever you want to. And rather, like when the Bezdin does it, that's because of Kanya Derava. And here is also that there shouldn't be Afara, but again, that's why one is violating an oath in vain when he says Gam L'Perech, because the words you're saying are in vain. Now, the Mishnah continued and said another type of Shvur Shav that's not possible is Vim Loi Re'isi Nachash Kakaris Beis. If I didn't see a snake as the beam of the olive press. So the Gemara says, Veloi? And we don't find a snake that's as thick as the beam of the olive press. But Hahu Dahava Bishnei Shvar Malka, there was a certain snake in the years of King Shapur. Havachad, there was one snake, the Achzik Tlesa Arvasa Tivni, that was able to contain 13 stablefuls of straw. The reason for this incident was because this snake was so large, it was swallowing people. So what they did was that they made bundles of straw and they put in those bundles animals and wild animals, and in there, in where the animals were, they hid fiery bowls of coals of fire. And then when the snake swallowed them all, it then burnt up the snake from the inside and then it died. So you see that the snake was so large, it was able to consume people and stablefuls, 13 stablefuls. So what's the big deal? Why is it an impossibility to say it's as large as the beam of the olive press? So Mashmuli says, no, it's not regarding size. It means betaruf. This time he said that he says, I saw a snake like the beam of the olive press, was that it had indentations, and I saw the snake like spatted. That's something that's impossible. Which you might ask, what do I mean? Kulunam emit of trifin. What do I mean? Every snake is actually spotted. Says the Gemara, no, he was saying bishagabi taruf, where he swore that he saw the back of the snake with ridges. Now, a snake is not spotted only in its neck. And he said he saw it by the back, which is not something that's possible. The Gemara in the Dharma of Chafei Manav actually asked, so why did the Mishnah say it in such interesting wording? Why didn't it just say, he said, I saw a snake that was tarf, that was ridged? Now the Gemara answers, as it says in the first Mishnah in Shas, Milsa Agavorcha Kamashmon. It's telling you something incidentally, where it's telling you that the beam of the Beis Abad is tarf, which would have relevancy regarding business dealings. If it's not, then that's a Mekach Tois, and that's a mistaken acquisition. So the Gemara continues that the Mishnah spoke about the third category of a Shvur Shav, then it gave a description of when you have a Shvur beat you together with a Shvur Shav. It said, if someone says Shvur Shav, I swear I'm going to eat this loaf of bread. Shvur beat it. Then they said Shvur Shaloyach, and I swear that I'm not going to eat it. That's Shvur Shav. Chul, etc. So one of the cases the Mishnah described was if he doesn't end up eating it, so then he's violated the Shvur beat, which was that he is going to eat it. But it doesn't say anything as if it's violating the Shvur Shav, because he actually did end up not eating it. Which the Gemara asked, wait a second. What do you think? He's only violating the Shavuos Bitui because he swore to eat it and he's not eating it. But he's not being liable for the Shavuos Shav. But the problem is the moment he said the oath, I'm swearing I'm not going to eat it, he's making an oath to mevatel his mitzvah of yes eating it, which he has the Shavuos Bitui to yes eat it. And therefore, even if he's quote unquote fulfilling his second oath, how can you say he's not violating the Shavuos Shav? But haray, the moment that he says the second oath out of his mouth, yatsa says shvu l'shav, that moment already he made an oath in vain to belie something that's impossible, because the moment that he says it, he's violating, even if he, quote-unquote, fulfills that, but that oath already was a shvu l'shav. So how can you say that he's only violating Shavuos Pitois? Or maybe he says, you're right, no, Tani, you have to learn regarding that second case of the Mishnah, Af al Shavuos Pitois. What the Mishnah is saying is that he also violates Shavuos Pitois, because there were two cases the Mishnah described. When he first says, I swear I'm going to eat it, and then he says, I swear I'm not going to eat it, so the Mishnah described two cases. It said, if he eats it, so then he's only violating the Shavuos Shav, because he hasn't violated the Shavuos Pitois, because the Shavuos Pitois was yes to eat it. But then if he doesn't eat it, that's when Mishnah saying yes, then he violates both. He's violating the Shavuos Pitois because he didn't fulfill it, because he actually did not eat it. And also the Shavuos Shav, even though he fulfilled it, but that already was an oath in vain by swearing that he's going to violate a Dvar Mitzvah of fulfilling a Shavuos Pitois, and then Yakshi Chayev on both. Mark continues with the next Mishnah, Shavuos Pitois, qualifying the two types of oath that we spoke about up until now, which then the next daf continues on to the next parak, the next type of oath. So Shavuos Pitois is the oath of enunciation, which is saying, I will eat, I will not eat, I did it, I didn't eat. Says the Mishnah, it applies both by men and by women. Now the reason why we're saying that is because the Mishnah on the next daf, by Shavuos Eidus, which is regarding if someone knows testimony and he swears he doesn't, that actually applies, as the Mishnah they will describe, by men, not by women. By people that are not relatives in contrast to relatives. So therefore, our Mishnah says the contrast that this halach applies by all of those categories. By men and by women, b'krevim u'b'rchekim, regarding relatives or non-relatives. For example, let's say he says, I swear I'm going to give it to a non-relative or to a relative. Shavuos Pitois requires that he fulfills that. B'ksherin, to people that are kosher to be witnesses, or u'b'psulim, people that are not kosher to be witnesses, again, which has no relevancy, Shavuos Pitois, just in contrast to Shavuos Eidus. Befnei Bezin, Mishle Befnei Bezin, whether he takes his oath in front of the court, not in front of the court. Mipiatzmoy, if he goes and he says this oath himself from his own mouth, like the Pasuk says. Now the truth is that this halacha is also going to apply, as we can see at the end of the Mishnah, if someone else made the oath for him and he says yes, like the Mishnah says at the end, that both the cases we're told of Shavuos Pitois and Shavuos Shav, if he's mushman p'piachem, someone else says the oath and he answers to that, then he's going to be chayv, but if he doesn't answer amen, he's actually going to be exempt. For example, if let's say someone else says, yeah, make me swear that if you ate or you didn't eat, and he says, I did or I didn't eat, since he didn't answer to the oath by saying amen, then actually he's not going to be chayv. But if he says it by himself, he's chayv just by saying the oath. Now, so regarding this halach of Shavuos Pitois, v'chayev na'azdoi namakets, if someone deliberately violates, he gets lashes, v'ashegagasa karbon el v'yared, but if he does it by mistake, as we said, that's unique to Shavuos Pitois and to one other type of oath, he's chayev a karbon el v'yared. In contrast, Shavuos Shav, an oath in vain, which was just described in Naman Aleph, Nahagas Banashim Banashim also applies to men and women, Berchaikim Berkraven, by non relatives and by relatives. For example, let's say he says regarding a man that she's a woman, which is, like we said, a Shavuos Shav, that applies whether she's a relative or a non relative. Bekshem Absulim, whether they're kosher or invalid for testimony, Befnei Bezdin, Mishle Befnei Bezdin, Shavuos Shav doesn't make a difference if it's in court or not in court, Umepiatzmoy, and when he takes the oath himself. Now, regarding this halacha of Shavuos Shav, v'chayav na'azdoi namakets, if he violates it deliberately, he gets lashes. V'ashegagas apat, if he does it by mistake, like a regular lav, contrast to Shavuos Pitois, which is unique, he's going to be exempt from a carbon. Now, that the Mishnah says, which we alluded to before, achazu v'achazu, both for Shavuos Pitois and for Shavuos Shav, hamushman p'achem chayav, if someone else makes him take the oath, if someone else is making him swear, and he responds to that, then he's going to be chayav. Now, continues the Mishnah, illustration of this is, if let's say a person says, Lo yichalti hayem, I didn't eat today. V'lo hinachti tfonim, I didn't put on tefillin today. And the other person says, Mashpiach ani, I want you to swear to me. V'ama amen, he says, yes. So chayv, is he mechayv? So even though he didn't make the shvu himself, but he responded, amen, which is in the affirmation of what the person is saying, it's like as if he made the shvu himself, and he's going to be chayv. Now, similarly, the Gemara opens up by saying, Amar Shmuel, he says, Kala oina amen achar shvu, whoever answers, yes, that this is true after an oath, so then it's kamitzi shvu mipivdom. It's like as if he said the oath from his own mouth himself, which applies to every area of halacha, whether to be chayav neshvus bitui, that where you have to say it out yourself, as the pasuk says levate b'svasayim. It's like you said it yourself and you have to fulfill those words now. Or let's say for shvus edus, which Ramea holds that you're chayav only when you say it by yourself, even out of court. Here it's going to be as if you said it yourself. If someone says, yeah, swear to me, and he says, amen, it's as if he said himself that he's swearing that he does no edus for that person, which was a lie, and then he ends up being liable for that halacha. What's the proof, says Shmuel? The pasuk says, Mamidbar, regarding the sight of the suspected adulterous woman, where the kohen makes her swear that you weren't mezana, you didn't commit adultery, all those things. V'amar ha'isha, amen, amen. She doesn't take the oath herself. The woman says, yes, yes, and we see that affirmation is like she took the oath herself. Amar Papa Mishmei the Rav, he says, Masnit nu Braisa Nami Daika. The contradiction from a Mishnah to a Braisa, which has no other resolution, but through this halacha of Shmuel will prove Shmuel's halacha. Why? Because the Ketani will in the Mishnah next daf says Shvur Se'edis, the oath of testimony, where a person swears I don't know testimony when he really does. Nahegis Banashim Banashim, that oath of liability applies both to it applies to men, not to women, who do not say testimony. Berchegim Leber Kurevim, by only non-relatives, and it doesn't apply to relatives. Bikshem Leber Psulim, that's only by someone who is a kosher aid and not someone that's apostle aid. Ve'en Nahegis El Berurin Lahayid, it also only applies to someone that's fit to say testimony, which we already spoke about who we're excluding, women who don't testify, relatives who don't testify. So the Gemara explains later on, it's coming to exclude a melech, as the Mishnah teaches in Masechta Sanhedrin, that a king doesn't say testimony. So although he's not apostle or a karev, but it's saying that that wouldn't apply to him. And ubefnei bezdin v'shleb befnei bezdin, this applies whether he's saying the oath in front of the court or not in front of the court, mipiatzim, as long as he's saying it from himself. Now, umipiachem, but if it's someone else that's taking the oath, then he's not liable until he makes the denial in the court itself. Because the pasuk says, Meikra hey, im lo yagid, if he doesn't testify, which is in the place where it's appropriate to testify, which is the court, that's what the pasuk is talking about. Because that pasuk is talking about what's called mujman piacherim, which is when someone else is swearing. And as the pasuk says, Veshama kail ola, and he hears, the one who knows the testimony, hears the words of the oath. That's when it's someone else is taking the oath. In contrast, when he himself is taking the oath, that applies whether in court or out of court, he's going to be liable, as the Meir learns later on, the Flamen Alf and Alf from Gzeres Shavah. So this is Divrei Meir. If he takes it himself, then it's going to be even in court or out of court. If it's someone else who's taking the oath, and he's just listening, and he's not denying that, so then he's going to be liable only if he denies it in court. Now, Tanya B'Braisa, what we learned in the Braisa, and this is the contradiction in the Mishnah in the Braisa, says, Shvur Se'edus Ketzad. What's the case of an oath of testimony. Amala Aidan Bayviduni, he says to witnesses, come and say testimony for me. And they say, Shvu, we swear, we don't know testimony for you. Or the other way around. They first say, we don't know testimony for you. And he says, Mashbiani Aleichem, I want you guys to swear to me that you don't know. Vamala Amen, and they say Amen, which is affirmation of that oath, says the Braisa, Bain bifnei bezin, whether it's in front of court, and this is important, bain shaloi bifnei bezin, or even if it is not in front of court, moreover, bain mipiatzmi, whether it's the person himself said it, bain mipiachem, whether it's from someone else that was taking the oath, kivin shakafer ben chayav, and once they deny that they know, they're liable, divrei meir. Says the Gemara, kashna dodi, so you have a contradiction over here, because here you have a case of mipiachem, and your meir is holding that you can be liable, even not in the court. But we just proved from the mission on the next daf that if it's mipiachem, then it's only in bezin, not out of bezin. Allah, Shema Menor, rather says, the Gemara, we could prove from this contradiction to the Allah of Shmuel. Ha, the Ana Amin. The Braisa says that you can be chayiv even if you're mujman piachem, someone else is making, he's telling you about the oath. And you're the one who says, knows testimony, didn't say it yourself, that you can be liable, even out of court. That's where the Ana Amin, where he answered Amin. Amin is like you said it yourself. That we said is even out of court. But the halacha of the Mishnah, the next staff, was where he didn't say Amen, that would not apply out of court, because it's like you didn't say it yourself, and it's like Veshama Kal Elu, which has to be only Ve'im Lo Yakin, in a place where you could say testimony, which is in the court, Shema Minah, that proves Shmuel's halacha. Amar Ravina Mishmein de Rav, Ravina said Nim Rav, Masnit in the Hacha Namideka, that our Mishnah actually is precise for that halacha also. Because the Ketani, our Mishnah, taught as follows. It says, Shvur is bitoy, an oath of enunciation, Nehegiz ba'anashim, u'banashim, it applies to men and to women, b'rchekim and b'kreivim, non-relatives and relatives, b'ksheim and b'psulim, those who are valid for testimony, those who are invalid for testimony, b'fnei bezin, b'shle b'fnei bezin, in front of court, not in front of court, mipi atzmoy, if it's from his own mouth, in, yes, then it's going to apply. But mipi achim loy, the inference is, but if someone else is saying the oath, and he's denying, then it's not going to apply. Problem is, the Rikatani Sefer, we learned at the end of the mission that says, Zev is Zev, that both Shavuz beat to end Shavuz Shav, Mujman Piachem Chayiv, if someone else took the oath and he's denying, then he's going to be Chayiv. Well, Kashna Dadi, that's a contradiction. Are you Chayiv in the Shavuz beat to when you're Mujman Piachem or not? Allah Shabbat Minah, rather you can infer the same resolution for the Allah of Shmuel. Ha, the Ana Amen, the safest Toma, we answered Amen, which the affirmation is like you said the Shavuz Bitu yourself, then you chayiv, even though it's Mujman Piachem. Ha, the Le'ana Amen, the Resha, when it was saying it's only when you say it yourself, so you have Levatim Bisvasayim, was when he didn't answer Amen, and then if someone else was Mashbiyim and he denied in violation of his of his bitoy, he's not going to be chayef. So the Gemara concludes with a question. Velishmul makamashmul, then what actually is Shmuel teaching us if it's indicative from the Mishnah itself? So the Gemara, duki demasnini kamashmul. That's exactly what he's teaching us. He's telling us that it was precisely, because sometimes it's not specifically, it's just what's common or whatever. He's teaching us that the Mishnah was precise when it said that when a person's mipi atzmoy by shvuz bitoy, that he's only mechayev if he takes the oath himself, but mipi achem is pater, that although the Mishnah says at the end, that achazu v'achazu, that by shvuz bitoy you are going to be chayv when it's mishma piachem, that understanding is because there specifically when he answers amen, as the Mishnah says, v'amru amen. In other words, you shouldn't just say, that's just a common way, and that's Shmuel teaching you from that precision of the diukum of the Mishnah that teaches that halacha, which you might not have known without Shmuel. You would have said, okay, it just happens to say it like that, but really the halacha would be even if they don't answer amen, and that Shmuel says, no, it's specifically if they answer amen, because then it's like he said himself, because a shvuah bita is only chayiv if you say it yourself, and that's where you know, kala'in amen achashvua, for whatever halacha it is, it's kamaiti shvuah min pivdam, it's like he said it himself, like we find by the Saita, v'amar isha amen amen. Han Lach Shavuot Shtayim, which I will turn to, the third Perek Masechta Shavuot is Perek Shavuot Shtayim.